are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Make no mistake about it. Our words aren't meaningless or powerless in our lives. Words are powerful. Used wisely, they have the power to move mountains. Use them wrong, and they can create mountains of distance and distinction between that can separate and divide even the closest of friends and family members. Hello, friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I'm Kim Crable, your host, and today I welcome you to a very special episode of our program. In light of our current coronavirus, how we use our words, the art of communication is more important than ever, and both in two different ways. One, how we talk to others, yes, definitely and for sure, but also the way we talk to ourselves. What are you saying to yourself in the midst of all that's going on? It really does matter, and it really is giving power to who you are and how you're going to proceed through this. There will be times in the coming days, weeks, and months when we will have, let's face it, we're going to have high times and low times, and it's then that our words will truly become extremely important. What do we say that can truly help? What are words that can cause confusion and frustration? Today, our friends from Tall Small Productions, Keith Scott and Rebecca Klein-Scott, are back to give tips on effective communication during this troubling time that will help us maintain strong relationships with one another while listening to our own self-talk. What a delight to have two communication experts with us on today's show. Good morning, Keith and Rebecca. Thank you so much in the midst of your busy schedules to take this hour to talk with us. And welcome to Coffee.
Thank you. I'm wonderful to be back with you.
It's always a pleasure to be with you and the inspiration that you bring to many people of this world.
Well, thank you. And I definitely say the same thing about you all. I think that our hearts are blended in really trying to give hope because we know what it feels like to be hopeless, and we know how this world can downward spiral quickly, and especially in the season of what we're in right now. Before we get into some questions, tell me, what is it that you all are seeing in our world?
We are seeing unbelievable things happen because we know the bad. We know that there's a lot of fear right now with the coronavirus. We're doing the social thing. But what we've realized is a lot of us have been living socially distant lives for a long time now. We've heard lots of people talk about how they are reconnecting with their family, with themselves, with their friends, with strangers and neighbors, because we've realized how much we've taken for granted the instantaneous connection we all have with our phones and our laptops. And a lot of us have lost the time of saying hello to neighbors and people we don't know.
I agree, Rebecca. I'm seeing the same thing in the midst of all the things that we can see as being the negative and the downward spiral. I'm seeing a lot of great things happen as well. You too, Keith?
What I'm noticing too is that people's morals and values are changing. You know, for a long time, people only valued, you know, how many hours can I log at work and what is an effect and buy and what on and on. But now it's about valuing the goal of finding someone's soul. It's about finding value in other people and interpreting people in a different way through playing games, through taking walks. We've been taking hikes in all the different parks in the area. And the amount of families that we see, our kids, taking a hike, getting fresh air, having real discussions, getting rid of the cell phone. Those are values that we lost many times around the world, not just here in the U.S.
And the unbelievable part is how often, and we're guilty also of this, or at least I am, maybe not Keith, and you walk by someone and you say, how are you? Maybe you keep on going, maybe for a few words and keep on what we're doing on our walks in the neighborhood, in the woods. When you walk by someone and say, how are you? People are stopping and really listening. And that simple how are you becomes the start of a much longer conversation than it used to when people were hustling and bustling and allowed themselves only 20 minutes for exercise and then had to race back to start the day.
Absolutely. I tell you what, it's almost like God has given all of us a timeout. And he's going, guys, timeout. Let's see what's really important. And communication is definitely a priority of communication. We know that because everything that we see around us, God spoke into existence. So it goes back to the power of our words. Now, you two have your business, Tall Small, and you work together a lot. So you have probably learned a whole lot about communicating effectively as a couple. So as our families are more together now, let's talk about some of the effective things, effective ways that we can communicate. How would you like to start that?
We feel less than lucky because we work with each other 24/7 way before this whole virus thing happened. So we are used to it. But you're absolutely right, Kim. There are a lot of couples and people at home that maybe one person worked from home and another person was out in the job, and now they're together. And it is easy because we are human beings to people the wrong way and get on each other's nerves.
And it can be the smallest things, because unless families and couples are having conversations, some of their what might set them off, then all of a sudden those little quirks become really big ones. We encourage every family to sit down, have family meetings, and have everyone a chance to ask for what they need and also share how they are going to honor everyone else. Taking that time to have communication protocols in place is as important as stocking up on that toilet paper.
I'm sorry, before we go on, because I want you to finish your statement, but we're having some feedback. We're having some bad weather in the Baltimore area. So I just got a message from our executive director, and she said maybe take it off the speaker and maybe pass the microphone to one another. We're breaking up really badly, and I so apologize. It's the weather, I think, in our area right now, and
not
what you're saying, I don't want anybody to miss. So you were talking about these family meetings. You know, when I was raising my boys, they're adults now, but that was something that was very important to us. We had family meetings at least on a monthly basis. So now you're bringing that back. I don't know a lot of families that are still doing that, but we're coming back to these family meetings. Give us an example of what a family meeting would look like that would be effective in what we're going through in today's world with this coronavirus, and not only the coronavirus, and the busyness of our world.
The first thing is to get everyone comfortable with the idea. If people were to just jump into a family meeting and be saying what bothers them, other people be as receptive. We recommend starting with something kind, having everybody share one compliment, something they've noticed of strength in each of the other family members of how they've been handling the last week. And then have everyone ask what others can do for them. What maybe I say to you, Kim, if you could help me with this, I would appreciate it. And let each person put out an ask. And to open the doors and bring down the walls to have some of those tougher conversations that might need to be had.
I love that.
It's also making guidelines, because many times when you're in the house together, people need a sense of space and a sense of security, a place that they can go, because as human beings, many times, whether we're introverts or extroverts, depends on where we get our energy. And many people need a space to go. Give you an example of myself. I'm an advocate for the bipolar community. Having bipolar, I know that I need a certain amount of space and time alone, or else my batteries don't recharge and I might not be in the best of mood. And so therefore, knowing what each person needs, that is vital. A lot of people are afraid to say it, but if there's any time that we need to say it, it's now.
You know, one of the things I used to say, that is so good, you know, knowing yourself. One of the things I used to tell my boys is, guys, you can say anything that needs to be said. You can just frame it in a way that's acceptable and kind to other people. So let's think about that, Keith, because I'm kind of like that too. I love alone time. Alone time does not scare me at all. I crave it. I need it. So what is, in this world where people are kind of more together, the space is limited, how are some of the ways that you can communicate that to those around you? Because we're a little edgy, we're around a place where our feelings can get hurt really easily. So many new things, new components are coming into this communication. What are some ways that we can communicate our needs in an effective and kind way?
I think the number one thing is to be okay with being vulnerable. In this situation that's drastic, this is the time, unlike any other time, to be vulnerable and let people know if we are going to have civility in our household, these are the things that I need, and I want to hear what you need, and then let's meet in the middle to make sure that everybody gets those needs met.
And with children, one of the things you can do, it's like, you know, you need to start the day with alone time, as Keith has said. Setting the tone for the day of, okay, mom and dad are going to take some alone time, and why don't you take some time to work on your art project or your bullet journal or whatever it is that your child enjoys, and then let's all come back together and have lunch together, or let's all come back and play a game at this time. And when people know when they can look forward to that comfortable moment, if that's what makes them feel, then they're going to be more respectful of the alone time. It's for everyone in the family to understand that their needs are going to be met throughout the day. It may not all be at the same moment.
I love that, because you're still creating these boundaries in the safe space. What if you just have one person in the house that doesn't like to have alone time, and they're just, what do you do with that person? Because I had one of those too. How do you hone that in a bit?
You get them to call people. You get them to go on social media or go take a walk and talk to neighbors. I think that's the best way. But many times with people that love that, you've got to also offer ideas, because they'll think, well, everybody's quiet, what do I do? Give them other ideas to be social. You know, contact people that you went to high school with, or contact friends you have to in years. What a great opportunity.
Or you can challenge them and say how much you enjoy taking your own downtime, and challenge them to go and try an hour by themselves without any devices. Because we were listening to a podcast the other day, and it talked about how you're not able to access certain parts of your brain until nothing else is going on in your mind. And it's at that time that you're able to think differently and be more creative. Very similar to when people do certain outward bound programs and everyone has to go off alone for the night. And that terrifies some people, but then there's magic that can happen from it.
I love that. You know, I want to tell our callers, our listeners, if anyone would like to call in with a question after our break in about 5 or 10 minutes after our break, feel free to call in and ask a question. If you have something that particular that's going on in your home, you can call 347-324-5246 and press 1, and I'll know that you're online and we'll bring you in. Or if you just have it, not really a problem, just a situation, or you just have something that you would like to share, that's 347-324-5246. And press 1. So guys, in Proverbs 12:18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Don't you love that? And how would you
Absolutely.
Respond to that?
Yeah.
Well, the tongue is wisdom. The word provides up. Nothing like a good word or praise. If you can remember when you're a kid and a parent or a teacher said something to you, you held on to that praise for years, and words reverberate. But also time, words can reverberate in the negative. And that goes into our discussion of self-talk. But people don't understand the
power of words, because as you mm-hmm. said before him, speaking it into existence, you know, God did that with every bit of creation, where mm-hmm. understanding that power is vital.
It really is. I mean, go ahead.
Taking a moment before you say something to someone, especially if there's a tough conversation or hurt feelings, lashing out right away, a lot of us will then regret what we've said. We could take it back, and there's no delete button once we've spoken. Taking a few moments, taking 10 minutes, going off and sitting somewhere, and then going back and having that conversation is one of the best ways to prevent yourself from saying something that you could really hurt someone with and you would want to take back later, because we're not all thinking right now either, as there's a lot of unknowns, and a lot of times with unknowns, we don't think enough about what we're saying.
You know, Rebecca, when you said that, it made me think of the acronym of THINK, before you speak. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? Mm-hmm. I, is it important? N, is it necessary? Well, that's a big one right there. Is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And you know, that's a good filter to go through. What kind of filter, what other filters would you recommend?
I think the number one filter, and we talked a little bit about this, is pausing and taking a second and realizing, is what I'm about to say, is it going to win the battle or the war? As many times we think we got to get that last thing out there, and you may win a little battle, but it's not going to win the war. And then also look at the snowball effect. If what you say is going to create a larger snowball, it's only karma that's going to come back to you. You know, that's why we mouth and two ears. It's key. And this really serious issue, I'm glad you brought this up, Kim. I noticed a news story this morning that the cases of domestic violence in the United States are rapidly increasing. And, you know, the words can quickly escalate. So we really need to be careful with the words we use, the tone that we use, and our temperament to say that could come along as long virus is a domestic violence issue.
So true. With the words that we have, and you're talking about the violence and everything that's coming on, you know, it really does go back to, Keith, I always love that you're so honest about being bipolar, because I think, I mean, we all are battling something, and many of us, maybe there's not a name to it or something, you know, but we all are in these different battles. And I love the authenticity when people speak what their battle is, because we can gain so much knowledge and hope from that, and seeing other people battling. One of the things that I know that's so important that I'd like to really dive into is in Matthew 15:18, it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So really the words that are coming out, our communication, are things that we have stored in our hearts, our own thoughts, things that people have said to us, things that we've said that we don't know how to deal with, unforgiveness matters, just all these things that are touching our heart. And these things bully us and talk and speak to us, don't they? I mean, I said to a group of women before all this coronavirus came out, I was speaking to a large group of women, and I posed the question, how many of you say things to yourself that you would never say to anyone else? And I mean, the heads started shaking. Yes, I even saw tears. You know, we are brutal to ourselves. So let's talk about that self-talk just a little bit.
It can be very damaging. Our self-talk can sabotage us, or it can make us sore. And as you said, a lot of us will say things to ourselves. We see this with our clients a lot, with our kids, with everybody. We will say things to ourselves that we would never say to anybody else. It could be, you're so stupid, they won't like your idea, how could you think that? And the number one thing we can all give ourselves is a gift time, where there's going to be enough challenges outside of our own heads, is to take a moment to name that self-talk voice. And when it pipes up, tell a name to quiet down, to get out of your head, because when you name it, it reminds you that this self-talk is not you. it's not part of you, and you have to get rid of it.
I love that. I was waiting. I thought Keith was jumping on there. That was the pause. I agree, and I think that we all deal with it. And what we must understand is if we think that as long as we just kind of keep swallowing it and keeping it on the inside, that we are managing it. But we're not managing it. It's going to be manifested. It's going to come out, and it's probably going to come out at the times when we don't want it the most toward the people that we love the dearest.
You're absolutely right, Kim. And going back to the verse in Matthew when you talk about an abundant heart, you know, abundant heart, and obviously written in that time, was abundance is similar to crops. You have to fertilize, you have to have the right sunlight, the right water. They have to go through different seasons, just like our heart. But at the same time, it makes me think the other day I put chicken wire around our garden. You also have to say, so there's a lot of things you got to look at. You have the right soil, the right temperature. You can't have a frost kill it off. But at the same time, you have to guard the heart, you have to guard your word, guard your emotions.
I love
and
that.
And one way
you, know,
you can do that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just going to throw in, and then I want you to follow up with this practical with what Keith was just saying about guarding our hearts. I love the scripture, Psalms 14:13, where it says, set a guard over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. And, you know, that's exactly what Keith was just saying, is that we have to put things in, we have to make things practical. We have to put the practical to our prayers and do align our lives so that we do set up those safeguards. And Rebecca, you were getting ready to give us a practical application of that, which I love.
Which goes with exactly what you were saying. One of the ways to safeguard is to change the channel of communication. If you find yourself sitting across from your spouse or child and you're beginning to get into an argument really over nothing, or it could be over something, agree to speaking for a full minute, hold hands, stare into each other's eyes, and let your souls connect. And in doing that, it can help us get that reality check that we need, that safeguard place of, hey, what I'm saying right now, I really don't mean.
Wow. You know, that reminds me of that old saying, silence is golden. I guess that's where the gold arises from that, right? Wow, that's
I think
that's
more people are going to discover
thing.
A lot of gold here.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you the truth, Keith, and I was talking about this earlier on a different program. You know, how this is the time when we have to throw off unnecessary things. We are together as a family. And I'd love for you all to talk about this. We're together more as a family. We have the kids at home, maybe grandkids. You know, we're surrounded by more people. And, of course, we're going to have more irritants. We're going to have more frustration. We don't have the alone time as much. You know, things are shifting and a little different. And I have learned in my life that the thoughts that come into my mind, I don't have to say. I may be a little irritated, but I can just throw that out. I can choose to just not stuff it. It's going to come out later, but just go, no, delete. I'm just going to delete that. I don't need it. It's not going to be helpful. It's not kind. Just cast it off. Throw it away. Be done with it. Is there an exercise that can help us with that?
Here's the exercise, and constantly keep this in your mind. A lot of times we don't want to talk to people. We want to be silent. We're getting annoyed with people. And then we think, well, here's a great idea. I'm going to say what I'm annoyed. Then we say it, and I'm guilty as I'll get out for doing this. And then we say it, and then the conversation keeps on going. And then we think, my gosh, I just wanted to be quiet, and now we can't stop talking. The thing is realizing once you say it, you're opening up a Pandora box, and the silence that you really wanted, you could have had it if you just kept your mouth shut.
And oftentimes when that happens, when that opens their mouths to unleash in that moment, there's things they don't mean anyway because it's a defense mode of wanting that silence. Really giving each other in the house extra, extra space.
Yes, and then we start that spiral down because I don't know about you, but here's what I'm guilty of. I'm guilty of over-explaining. Like, okay, I say something and I think, oh, that didn't turn out right. And I see it's not being received well. So then I'm trying to explain. And before long, I've just dug this ditch. I mean, you can't even see my head in it. I'm so far down, you know. And so sometimes we just have to just be okay with just saying, I'm sorry, and just being quiet. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I also think, Kim, that has to do with the difference between men and women, because men, it seems, don't get the details as well as women. And you have to explain it 3 or 4 times till they finally get it. I know I'm guilty. Now, Rebecca will explain something and again, and I'll say, oh, now I get it. So mm-hmm. down to
yeah.
the difference between genders, because women can
yeah.
see, you know, many times the full circle in the picture, and men think on a linear. They think, well, I've completed this mm-hmm. task and this task, but they're not looking at how maybe those tasks could impact or the variables. And that's something in relationships people have to understand, that men and women think very differently. One is better than the other. It's just a different way. And if you can combine those two ways of thinking, you'll actually be stronger.
And being okay with that. For example, in our own family, in coronavirus, that we're stocking up for the end, but we did do a little bit of stocking up to limit. Often we would go to the grocery store, and very quickly, exactly what Keith said with those details, I realized it didn't tell him what we were or what was on the list, but our daughter talked about and made her my partner in crime on that, on figuring out here's what we need, here's what we're going to do, and then it fulfilled my need to work with somebody, helped her stand mm-hmm. up to a challenge, and it gave Keith the peace of not really being involved in the groceries, which is not something he's involved in day to day anyway, and it helped everybody.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you, I just love this conversation. I know people are really leaning in, and I'm hoping that some people have some questions. I want them to feel comfortable to call in. We're going to take a 30-second break, and here's what we're going to do, friends. When we come back, I want you to be prepared to answer this question. What are a few of the things that you really want people to understand about communication during this especially tough time of this coronavirus? What is it that you really want them to hear from you today that you think will really bring hope into their lives and use their words more effectively? So let's take a break. Does that sound good?
Sounds wonderful.
Wonderful.
Great, great. I know you all have some things in store that you want us to hear. So we're going to take a 30-second break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to finish off this program with the hope that you're giving with the communication that's going on in our world today. All right, friends, we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello, and welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We are so delighted to have with us today communication experts from Tall Small, Keith and Rebecca. I am so delighted, and I want you to be thinking about any questions that you have that you would like to have answered by them. But before we do that, I want to remind you to share that question. You can call in at 347-324-5246. Press 1. Be sure and press 1 so that we can bring you on air. Also, while you're thinking about that, I'd like to invite you to like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. Be a part of our team. We need you. You can also visit our website at kimcrable.org. We are currently scheduling our 2021 Burdens the Blessings Tour. This is where we look into God's Word and we look into our past and see how our past definitely has a great purpose. So if you'd like to bring this transformational message to your city, you can contact Karen at kimcrable.org. Now, while we are in the situation where we can't get outside of our homes, you can watch our teaching series on a few of the faith-based networks. So check online at NRBTV and Inspiration TV to get the Burdens to Blessings teachings. And also see the TV show Coffee with Kim, where you're going to hear incredible testimonies of what God can do in our lives. So again, if you would like to contact us for a question with our communication experts today, you can call 347-324-5246. 5246 and press 1. All right, guys. Well, again, Rebecca, Keith, I just want to thank you both so much for being a part of the show. I know how busy you are. I see you on TV all the time. I see you doing these grand workshops. And so you stay very busy changing and implementing our conversations in this world and making it more hopeful and clearer and more concise. So let's just dive back into what we've been talking about. And I'm going to ask you, what are some things that you think that we really need to know about conversation, especially during this coronavirus season?
To not assume the worst when someone says something to you in the family, to practice assuming that it's coming to you with the best possible intention. That goes for your coworkers who might call you. That goes for your boss who might, at the end of the day, ask you for a report and you're really already done with the day and you don't want to get back to taking time to assume there are the best intentions behind everything instead of falling into the pattern down the rabbit hole of thinking that people have negative intentions, because most people out there do want the best for people.
Also,
I love
the different people think and communicate. Some people need constant positive messages, and that keeps them upbeat. Other people, and this will seem a bit strange, but I know that people out there like this, will go right to the negative, think, okay, here's what are the worst case scenarios, and then they work themselves backwards to the positive. Mm-hmm. Different people have different ways of dealing with this. And the problem many times is we think, well, they're just being negative or they're just being this. We have to really figure out what's the rationale. Maybe they went through something in life horrific and the only way they know how to cope is through a certain methodology in their mind. And we've got to realize that people are coping in many different ways and there's no one size fits all.
Well, let me ask you this, Keith. That's a good point. I love it. And I love what Rebecca said, that the words that are coming at us, assume that they're coming with the best intention. Mm-hmm. I love that, because that puts me in control of how I receive it. Now, what you just said was sometimes people will come at it because they're different. They will come at it more in a negative mode. Okay, so how do we, as the more positive thinking people, how do we respond in that? How do those two things come together? How do we communicate effectively in that situation? Because I'll guarantee you there's probably lots of husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and coworkers that are dealing with this more now than before.
Absolutely, and they're all dealing in different ways. And the key is to realize that they're doing it in different ways, not to judge, not to offer extra advice. A lot of people want to vent. We're in a situation where people want to vent, but they don't always want the answers, and they don't want you to solve it. Just allowing people to vent and say it, and when they ask the question for advice, that's when many times you can give it. But even when they ask for advice, we always say caution on that. People want advice, but they'll say that many times they want it. The key here is listen, because each person in many ways has to fight their own battle in their head. Offering support, offering a smile, simple things like that, allow a person to work through those difficulties.
Also to remember that we are in the driver's seat of how we receive information. There are going to be times where all of us are going to be hurt by things people say, or coronavirus, of course. And in the driver's seat, it's much harder to say than to do it, much harder to do than to say it, rather. But remember, and if someone says something really negative to you, that you also have a choice of how you're going to receive it. You can receive it and go negative yourself, feel really, really low. Or you can say, hey, this person is feeling low today, and what they say may not be a reflection of what they would normally say on a typical day.
I love that. I love putting people in the driver's seat where they feel empowered, and I think that's exactly what happens. You talk about, I've been reading some of the things that you've been posting, and you talk about speaking clearly, giving more specifics. And I can remember when my boys were little, and my husband traveled a lot, and there were times when, going back to needing alone time, there were times that I'd be so frustrated or whatever, and it had nothing to do with the boys. And I got into the habit of saying, boys, mom just needs a little time out. I'm going to go sit out in the sunroom, or I'm going to do this. It has nothing to do with you. It's mom. Mom just needs a little bit of time. And that just, that clarity of that conversation helped them so much. How can we be more clear in our communication during this time where attention is probably a little bit higher than normal?
Kim, you gave a great example, and you did exactly what you should do. Telling people, knowing we would change, not a little time, I need time. You don't want to downplay it either. A lot of people will feel guilty. They'll think, I don't want to tell my kids I need a little time. But the fact is, if you stay with them, you're going to be a worse parent. And so it's a gift that you take the time. Even if you spend less time with the kids, but it's more meaningful time, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. It's not the quantity, it's the quality of the time. So saying, and I will say it all the time to our kids, I have bipolar, they know that, I need a certain amount of time, or else I'm not going to be functional for the day. If I'm not functional, mm-hmm. they either can't earn money, can't do the things they want to do. So allowing kids also to see the ramification. If you don't want a person to act a certain way or give them time, there's ramifications that come back that impact the rest of the family.
It all helps with kids to be specific. And we realized this first days of theirs. At first we were saying, keep some distance from, this was before social distancing really went into effect. And next thing you know, after we said this, I remember seeing one of our kids going over and giving a friend a hug. And she didn't think for a moment. And that's when we realized that clarity is critical, because a hug is something that we all spontaneously do, and you have to really think about it to not do it. And then we finally had to say, okay, no contact with friends. We're not going to get together with friends. It's too difficult to say, well, let's have friends in the backyard, but stay 6 feet apart. It's too vague for kids. The more parameters you can give kids, the more clarity in the communication and the fewer gray areas, the better things will be.
Mm. I like that. Good advice. We've had a caller just send something in, not really a caller, but someone who's just given a question over the internet. And this is a very familiar question. We hear this often. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe Keith might answer this and Rebecca could do the yes, that's for sure. But one of the wives says, during this time, my husband has shut down even more than before. He just will not talk to me about how he's feeling or how this coronavirus is affecting him. What would you say to that wife?
Well, I think that's completely understandable. The male shuts down in times of trouble, and many times the female has a need to talk about it and be social and get various viewpoints from other people. I think that goes back to many generations in the past, is that the men figure out what to do logically. How do I change this? How do I protect my family? The logical steps, and the female gender is looking at, okay, how do I keep my family safe? How do we get food? All the details and other logistics. So therefore, you need to give them time, because they are working it out in their mind. And once they come to some solutions, the problem with this, though, it's similar to a war, is it's constantly changing. And so, therefore, it makes it really hard, because you can't come up with one set, okay, we're going to do this, because the next hour the news tells you something new. And so it's going to take some time. But it goes back to understanding the female and male genders and the different thought processes.
Yes. It's also how we've been socialized to be from an early age. From an early age, girls especially, growing up when we did, girls were encouraged to talk to their friends, share their feelings, to play house, to play out all different scenarios and really talk about the details. And a lot of boys, their conversations growing up were, hey, you want to throw a ball? You want to play basketball? And it was less conversation.
Right.
And there's a steeper learning curve there too, to suddenly be thrust into a situation where everyone wants to talk to you about your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we are definitely in a new season of conversation and being around people to create that conversation. What would you what are the top two or three things that you think would help in the dynamics of being at home now with the family unit that could really not just help us to survive, but to really come out of this stronger? I truly believe that in everything that happens in our lives that we can, and I know you do too, that's one of the reasons I love having you on the show, is that we really don't just survive it. We don't just kind of go along with it. There's something in there that's to refine us, that's to teach us, you know, that will make us better. And many of my communications of late have been, you know, set a goal so that when you come through this, you come out of it better and stronger than you entered into it. So how do we, on the basis of communication, how do we come through this stronger? What do we need to learn during this time? You know, as family units, like you said, we were already so socially separated anyway. So this could be a really good time within our families to do better and be stronger. So help us put some things. We have about 15 minutes left. Let's talk about some practical applications, some ways that we can come through this stronger than how we entered into it.
Absolutely. Number one, to understand and accept that friction moves us forward. Nothing happens when we're inside of our comfort zones. We all have to push the boundaries of our comfort. And what we would recommend to the woman who wrote in is make a deal with her husband of, how about you take time each day to share one thing you're feeling? I know that makes you uncomfortable, but if you can push beyond that and try it, I would appreciate that. And what can I do back for you? Because there needs to be give and take. Both parties need to do something that goes beyond their comfort zone.
Love that.
Putting it in perspective, you know, I had a quote I saw the other day and posted it, that, you know, our grandparents went to war, sacrificed everything, and we're being told to sacrifice by sitting on the couch, right? It's being realistic here. I mean, there's somebody else put it, social media is amazing, that Andrew was with seven other people on a 450-square-foot room for many months, up to a year, having to remain quiet. That's really different right now. And putting it into perspective of other situations, I think many times, and you talked about what we can learn, I think as a country we can learn that inside we have to get a little more fortitude inside of our bellies. And I think that is a great lesson, because if you talk about from a biblical perspective, the early prophets, they endured all kinds of things that we could barely even imagine in today's world. And they continued on after beatings and tortures and being in a desert for, you know, 40 years. I mean, we're talking horrendous things. So if anything, this can teach us to be tougher in our religious quests.
Yes.
Something else
I love
that parents.
Go ahead.
Oh, something else that parents can do is bring on a lot of times we can't get together with grandparents because they're in the high risk category. But asking grandparents over Zoom or over the phone to share stories of living through wartime and other tough challenges, and not only sharing the hardship, but sharing how they came out, what they learned from it. Reading stories with your kids, watching movies that show not only the struggle and the hardship, but the proof of what can come out better because of it.
I love these. I do believe that this is a moment captured in time for each and every one of us. You know, the stock market, we need to, obviously there's, and the sickness and all that, obviously are horrid, and I know that they're working desperately to make that better. And I think that they will. I really do. I just think that that's going to be okay. I really believe that this is a time where God really has given us a time out. I don't know about you all, but I just felt like our words were completely out of control. I mean, you turn on the radio and the TV, and the way that people were communicating with one another, the things that they were saying to each other. I mean, I could not even believe that we've gotten to that low. You know, it's like how, you know, that old saying, how low can you go? I mean, our communication was at a whole different level of being unnecessarily cruel to each other.
Unnecessary cruel, and I think in some ways this is a Noah moment in terms of God saying you need to wake up and trying every other way express and no one's paying attention, and saying, you need to change how you're talking to my creatures, human beings that I and that is the key. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes a horrible wake-up call when people aren't doing it. But people have gotten crude and rude to each other, speaking in ways that we would never have done 50 or 100 years ago. And that time, it got to a point where we had to change it. And kids were seeing adults do it. It was a downward spiral. And if anything, this will change that attitude and wake up to the reality of what's most important in life.
Absolutely. And I think it starts at home, don't you all? I think that what you are talking about now, it's in the home that we learn this guidance, and also have that open and honest communication about the hurts and the things that are resting in our hearts that really do need to be brought forward so that there can be some open dialogue about it, so that healing can take place. And it's just like you said, you were talking about, Keith, about in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, Paul, you know, how he was so brutally beaten. He was a brilliant man, but, you know, he had a different message for that world, and he so believed in bringing hope and life that it was worth it to him to be criticized and be ridiculed and persecuted to do what was right. And I believe that that's something else that we're learning today, is that we're all having to stand up and do what's right rather than just going along with what seems to be the political notion of our day. So I think we are taking a stand a little bit better.
I love what you said, Kim, and it's also an incredible way to frame things for your kids, because instead of focusing on you can't be with your friends right now, you need to be distant, it can also be switched to you have an opportunity to save lives. You have an opportunity here to not potentially be a carrier to transfer this disease from one person to another. You can be part of the solution to help stop it. And there's a lot more that kids can grasp from that superhero role than being told what they can't do. And it's how we frame those words. Keith and I often do sessions with our clients where we have them find the silver lining, or how they can say no without the word no. And all of that can be transferred to how we're talking to ourselves, our spouses, and our children.
Love that.
And using the words, this is an easy one, but teaching everyone in the family to say, I get to. For example, if you have to take the trash out, you can say, trash out. But if you could say, I get to take the trash out, that means you had enough money to buy food that you produce trash. If you say, I have to take the dog out, right? Kind of bleh. But first of all, you purchased or got a dog. But if you say, I get to take the dog out, well, you have a dog. That means you have a home. That means you can afford dog food. You can afford a vet visit. But there's a lot of ways to reframe the things that we're like, the hardships. That aren't hardships. There are opportunities that millions in the world don't have.
Okay, let's play a game right there for a minute. Let's think about some things that you all are hearing in the world that's negative and reframe them. Whenever you throw one out and someone reframe it. Yes,
go for it, Keith.
I think going back, well, we're reframing, I got to stay at home. I get to stay at home and spend extra time. I can't go out to eat at a restaurant. No, I get to cook and try with new recipes, and I get to sit around the table, and I save money. There's a lot of ways to look at things.
Yes.
Or back to the work environment of my business is going to fail. Look at Tall Small. Our entire business was built on going out there, talking to large groups of people and small ones in person, right? We could go negative and say, we're stuck. There's nothing we can do. We're going to throw in the towel. Or we can do what we're doing, and it helps to have the business partner and husband and wife partner to meet each other. Let's pivot. Let's find new ways of doing things that are not going to only help us now, but will make us all the stronger later.
Yes. Yes. And this is the conversation that we must start having. This is what is going to bring us to a higher place to a better people, to be more refined in what it is that we're doing. And there are a lot of positives in this. I will tell you all, when this started happening, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to have, because I do small groups and large groups like you all, but we have regular groups that meet on a weekly basis. We have the men's group, we have women's groups, we have the teen groups, we have the Princess Tea groups, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is the end of the ministry. You know, that's the negative thought. It's like, okay, how do you reframe that? And but I began to think about it and pray about it, and now all of these programs that we had, because we do want to be socially responsible, we decided to go online and do Zoom classes. And because of that, we have grown unbelievably, because it has given more people the opportunity. The ones who couldn't drive to the classes can now jump on in Zoom. Even more of a handicapped people or older people who don't want to drive at night, or teenagers who can't drive. So, you know, I think what you're saying there is so true. It's like, stop in the situation, and before we give up, give in maybe to what God is saying to us, and really have that communication with Him. Go back and talk with Him about what's going on and how we can, what you all were saying. How do we pivot here? How do we reframe this? How do we move forward in a better way?
Absolutely. And God speaks to us in those times. A lot of times we think, why is God not praying? I don't hear God's voice. But God doesn't speak when we want God to speak. God speaks when God's wanting to speak. Whenever He wants to speak, He does it. And that's the thing. Many times we want it on our timetable, but this is God saying, hey, you've been doing it one way, but there's a whole other way of doing it. And you know something, Kim, I also think is interesting. We are going back 100, 120 years pre-industrial revolution. You know, that's what really broke a lot of families up. A lot of families on the farm went to the factories, went to work 9 to 5, 12, 14-hour days, came home. We're going back, because people are home, to creating cottage industries. I think this is really a unique thing, because at bringing families back together, it's almost like back in time is moving us forward. And I think we're going to be a lot better for it.
I think a lot of us also have forgotten all of the incredible inventions and technologies and things that were built before we had today's technology. A lot of us have come to think we have to have all this high power stuff to get things done. This is forcing us all to take that step back.
Yes. I agree. And it's given us this quiet time and this quiet space to really reflect. And I don't know, a lot of times we get so busy that's how we run from things. And I think that it's almost like getting in a car. And have you all ever gotten in a car, drove out of your driveway, and you got to the next city or the next wherever, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how did I get here? And you were so busy with your thoughts that you didn't even see the road you traveled. Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
oh yes.
And you think, you know, and I think so many times that's the way life can be, is that, you know, we look back over the last year and go, it was so crazy busy. I'm not even sure what I did, or if I did anything that mattered or was effective. And, you know, maybe God is calling us all to, you know, just really slow down and see the neighbor, see the spouse, see the people at the store, you know, really just see him.
Absolutely. And along with that, two other practical things that can help with the communication, along with being mindful of that, is to make sure that during this time you're nourishing yourself. People are taking it as a time to gobble up as much junk food as they can, because that can bring immediate gratification and comfort. But looking at what we're putting into our bodies, because to have the strength and the immune system that we need to get through this, taking the time to nourish yourself. And that can also bring some of the gratification that people who feel stuck in certain ways may need too, of thinking, what can I do to make my family extra healthy tonight? And taking time to exercise as well, because when we hug and shake hands, it releases the human bonding hormone of oxytocin. How do we replace that? How can we feel close and good without some of that?
Oh, I love that. So wonderful.
Keep going. Going back to your earlier talk about slowing down, something I was thinking about, I drive a stick shift car. And because I don't like to spend money on brakes, I downshift when I come to a red light. And over the years, I have noticed more people come right up on my tail, make that angry face and swerve around, only to stop at the stoplight, of which as I'm rolling, I then roll past them, right? And what they're doing is they're getting angry, and they're wasting more gas, and they're wearing out their brakes, all negative things because they don't want to take the time. And people have become, if you have more than 2 seconds at a red light, people are honking the horn. And many times in my mind, I think, what is that vital that those 2 seconds are going to make that are worth the frustration and stress that you just caused your heart? We have got to go back to that simpler way of doing things.
What a beautiful example. Hurrying up to slow down. Yep, exactly. Well, guys,
Keith and I had.
Go ahead.
Oh, we had a scary moment happen a few weeks ago. We were on a Thursday night date night, coming back home from dinner, and Keith was doing exactly what he just said, where he downshifted and brakes. And this guy apparently wanted to get to the red light that much faster, and got so angry that he swerved around in front of us, got out of his car. And Keith and I really for a moment thought, this is it. This guy is that angry that he couldn't get to that red light to stop 20 seconds sooner. He got out, walked toward us, and we are incredibly thankful because we don't know what intervened, but he came toward us. We were terrified, and all of a sudden he turned back around and got into his car, and we were incredibly thankful. But let's all focus on not becoming that guy.
Oh, wow. Good point. And, you know, that's one of the things that I really have been keeping in my prayer. And I know my husband and I have talked about it so much, is that, you know, the frustration and the anger of the lack of communication or the lack of control can really cause people to start doing crazy things out there. And that's why I felt like this program was so important, because if we learn how to effectively communicate what we are feeling, then what is stored in our heart is not the anger and the bitterness, and it won't have to come out, you know, on the road or in times that it could really cause damage to someone else. So I just want to thank you all so much for just your wisdom and your knowledge, but I love the way you bring it into practical application. And I've gotten 3 pages of notes here, and I know that our listeners have too. I know there are many listeners on. They're probably just writing, and I'm getting notes on my Facebook page. So I will get these questions to you all. But, you know, I just want to thank you again so much. Will you take a minute and tell people how they can reach you? And I know that you have a special Zoom or something coming up today. So tell people how they can join you, how we can join you.
Today at 3:00 Eastern Time, we are doing a complimentary webinar on how to work effectively from home, how to pivot, how to get things done, how to set boundaries. It's interactive. And to sign on to receive a link to join, you can go to tallsmallproduction.com. And if you can't make that, we're going to be offering more and more over the weeks to come. And people can always reach out to us on our website, just tallsmallproductions.org.
And you do large
group, small group, you name it. But we wanted to thank you, though, because, you know, I'm listening to you this hour. We've known you for a while, but listen to the questions that you ask, which are really good. You know, some people ask, I think, couldn't they have come up with something a little better? You ask deep, real questions that are solving real issues that people are having a real time. And they may not be calling in, but I guarantee what your ministry is doing is changing people's lives. And we can't thank you enough for what you are doing.
Yes. Thank you for having us on the show. And what you've been doing, the fact that you spent an hour talking and exploring topics, that's the way the world really needs to go. Too often people do quick 20-second snippets, check-ins on each other via text. The fact that you go this deep, it's healing for a lot of people.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I believe that that's why we love each other so much, is because we really do want to see people healed. We know what it's like to hurt. We know what it's like to battle. And we want to equip others with the ammunition and the armor that they need. And just to continuously remind one another that we all are in a battle. But that's okay, because we can battle together. And through the battle, mm-hmm. we learn a lot, don't we? The battle teaches
us
a lot. And
that
absolutely.
Is the truth.
Well, guys, I just love you so much. Thank you again so much for joining us. Absolutely. And listeners, I just want to thank you. I know that you've been busy writing. I see that you're online. I thank you for all the notes. You can contact us or Tall Small to have them come to your area. I know that you would enjoy having them. And I'll leave you with this word, Hebrews 3:13, where God reminds us to encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. So today, reach out and use your words to encourage someone. You never know how badly someone needs your words of hope today. Thank you so much again for joining us at Coffee with Kim, and I'll look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, keep the conversation going. Love you, everybody. See you soon. Bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit KimCrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit KimCrable.com.